Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Welcome back. We're going to talk about the school of hard knocks, or concussions. It's a hot subject. A lot of people don't know much about it. A lot of doctors don't know much about it because it's such an individual phenomenon. And more people are playing sports and doing athletic events, some with trainers, some ad lib recreation, etc. And it's important to know the diagnostic symptoms and classification of concussion. Well, it used to be called traumatic brain injury, but some people call it chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Whatever it is, it's a degenerative disease, and we don't know which hit is going to do it. Whether it's a boxer, an ice hockey player, a footballer, etc., whether it takes multiples, or whether it's a single. You know, it was thought that in places like American football, that a concussion from an accident in a contact sport like football was a temporary malfunction and had no long-term effects. And it wasn't easy to decipher which symptoms were the ones that were going to be significant. Some people say there's a chance of 1 in 10 or 1 in 5 of every player to have a concussion during a year or during a career. And having a mild headache may or may not be a significant event. When you consider that 38 million children and adolescents participate in organized sports in the United States, 170 million adults do some kind of participation. So there's a lot of folks out there, and there are 1.7 million people annually sustain a TBI, which is a traumatic brain injury, which is a lot of emergency room visits. For instance, there were 130,000 emergency room visits just in 1996 with significant head trauma, and most of which are not even referred because there's no loss of conscience. A concussion or a TBI or pugilistic encephalopathy is induced by a force transmitted to the head resulting from a direct or indirect impact to the head, face, neck, or body. Someone being tackled, someone being blocked. Even if the head was not directly hit, bouncing on the wall or bouncing on the floor or the grass could do it. Concussions may present with a wide range of clinical symptoms and signs. A symptom, by the way, is what a patient experiences. A sign is what a doctor sees. So some of these signs and symptoms are loss of consciousness. Well, that's an important one. Amnesia, personality or behavioral changes, irritability, confusion, etc. Cognitive impairment. Slow reaction time, not knowing who the president is. More subtle things like sleep disturbances, drowsiness, off of the circadian rhythm. Headaches, that's an easy one to know because they'll tell you that. Cognitive symptoms such as being in a fog. Emotionally, but there are some other things that are even more obvious. One is the eyes, not just blurred vision. But the fact is that the Army and the military use the eye movement and look at the rapid phase of eye movements and requesting somebody to look forward and backward to tell if there is an abnormality and often where in the brain that happens. So looking at the pupils, looking at the eye movement, seeing if they're sensitive to light, sensitive to noise, personality changes, headache, etc. It's also intuitive because just if they have one of these mild concussions, it may not be severe and it may not lead to any kind of long-term issue. Well, there's three grades to a concussion. There's mild, moderate, and severe. Mild means that less than 15 minutes, no loss of consciousness. More than 15 minutes, headaches or signs with no loss of consciousness is moderate, meaning more than 15 minutes. Severe is some loss of consciousness. So even with the mild, people are now requested to be off the field 5 days of evaluation. You know, the areas that have the greatest frequency of concussion are men's football, ice hockey, more women's ice hockey than men's ice hockey, lacrosse, and even female softball. And with the rise of rugby, that's another area where they're trying to instill a different type of tackling. So they've evaluated the rates in both high school and college athletes of concussion in practice experience versus competition. And as you might imagine, it's at least 10 times greater in competition. That's one of the reasons the Ivy League has said that we're going to try and tone down tackling and forbade it, at least in practice. But that does not have a lot of effect because the ones in practice are much milder because you're playing with your own team and squad. So the concussion rates are slowly rising. More people are getting involved in sports. And so we need to be conscious of these things. And 1.8 million athletes participated in football in the United States during the 2009 football season. That's a lot of people. Now, there are only about 120 injuries that led to catastrophic head injury and permanent neurologic damage. That's not a lot. But there's a lot of soft ones in there that you don't know. And just because there is an increase in the severe ones that's subtle, it's important to know that the mild ones are so frequent. You watch it every Sunday in college football. So they've done a survey of football coaches and found that the incidence is higher than players would respond. In fact, now the trainers are the ones who first evaluate people on the field if a physician is not there. There's a greater sense of reporting now so that we're getting a little more information. Since rugby is coming on as one of the fastest growing sports, tackling and headbutting and scrums are a frequent phenomena. Well, the English and Irish leagues have decided on different kind of tackling and stopping play if illegal tackling around the head or thumping someone on the ground occurs. But these are kind of late kind of tactics to help prevent a problem. This is kind of like penalizing after the fact. Children are at most at risk of concussions because their brain and head is larger than their body proportionally. They're growing rapidly in height and weight, and they're extremely susceptible. But one of the ways you can tell your child has had an issue is look at the eyes. Look at the movements of the eyes right to left and the pupils. Ask them questions. Modify their sports gear. Make sure there's a trainer. You can't completely eliminate it. In fact, some people are very upset saying, oh, you can't play sports the way we did when I was a kid. Well, maybe we shouldn't be playing sports. People are bigger, they're faster, they're better trained, etc. So yes, the sports are going to change, but prevention is far more important so that the sport is clean and there's less chance of injury, especially when it's a recreational idea. So we will follow up on this with someone who's had multiple concussions and is now a coach and tell you more in another segment. I'm Rob Abel, the Wizard of Oz, on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Wear your headgear, stay well, and remain being a medical detective. You're most important for you, and that's what counts.